It is a producer show here on 560 WQAM. Alex Solana and Matt the Biff Wilson taking you up until 10 o'clock. I kind of like this song. I like this. You guys put this in the system, Solana? I like it.
Man, nobody puts in better music than I do, man. I'm telling you. Like, I've been saying this for a couple months now, that nobody puts in better music than I do. And I'm always being criticized for my music, by the way, because it's dumb millennial crap.
Well, who is criticizing you for this? We have to hear the person who's doing it.
Dono and Frito.
Oh, Dono would be happy actually, if you played Third Eye Blind and Wonderwall all day long.
Actually, that's not fair. Dono and Frito, don't give me too much bleep about the music I play. By the way, Matt, and again, you can text in the show 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. You and Alex Dono used to be in this time slot, 6 to 10 p.m. He now works on the Dono and Frito show, the show I work on. I'm the executive producer of the Dono and Frito show. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you and Alex Dono have a bet going back to, I believe, before Dolphin season began, which is if Frank Gore, Miami Dolphins running back, surpasses 750 yards, or excuse me, does not surpass 750 yards, or I think he just had to get to 750, Alex Dono has to dress up in full pads and do the Ray Lewis dance.
Oh, yeah. He has to do the Ray Lewis shuffle. And just because, unfortunately for Frank Gore, his season's over, finished off with 722 yards, 28 yards short of 750.
It's perfect. It couldn't have worked out any better. Dono was confident. And again, I work with Alex Dono. He brought this up a couple times on the show, so I began monitoring this bet.
Oh, I've been monitoring it all year.
I'm sure you have, because the payoff is going to be amazing right now. I mean, I love that you guys did this, by the way, because had it just been like a bet for money and he had to pay you $50 or whatever, it would have been funny, and it would have been great for you, obviously, economically.
We're both broke, so we'd be giving each other IOUs. And
right,
maybe
we work in radio, so I can definitely relate to that. But the fact that Dono now has to dress up in full pads, do the Ray Lewis dance, and if you know Alex Dono, he's kind of like a stiff guy. He doesn't have like too many dance moves. Even though he told me when he gets drunk, he dances a lot. He was.
I really wish I was in New Orleans with him just to see him in New Orleans.
He was in New Orleans, I believe, last weekend for a friend's wedding. He said that he doesn't ever dance. He's not the dancing type, but he got really hammered and was just dancing. That the groom's father told him he was an excellent dancer. He couldn't believe it. I can't wait for this bet. Couldn't have worked out any better. Frank Gore was on pace to not just break it, but kind of like really break it. Like he was going to break it easily.
He was
going to,
right? If he would have played these last two games, would have easily had about 800 yards. I would have looked dumb. And I even told him if he breaks the record, we could find something because there was no original my side.
Well, I think you should have done the same. Like you should have just dressed up in pads and done the Ray Lewis dance. Why not?
I would have done that, no problem. I think it's more fun. I think it's funnier that Dono does it.
Of course, of course.
I mean, I may do that regardless. I may just go with him and do it.
56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. I teased this earlier in the show. I never even got to it. Eric Falero, he's the executive producer of the Hawk and Crowder show, the show that came on before us, right before the conclusion of that program. Eric Falero, he's driving on his way to Tennessee right now with his family. Beautiful family, by the way. Shout out Juan, who always gives me love on Twitter. He kind of came clean about something that he told his mom for Christmas shopping. He doesn't know what to get her, so he told her, just go to the store, pick something out, and I'll pay for it. And it's so cringeworthy what this Falero does sometimes, man. Like, he really does put millennials to shame, and I'm a proud millennial, and I know how much some of you hate that out there. You hate millennials. You think we're stupid. You think we're the reason that the world is coming to an end. You think all we want to do is eat avocado toast and we can't count. And that's probably all true.
And listen to Avicii.
Rest in peace, by the way. But I mean, this Falero, like, what's he doing? It's your mom. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that.
I mean, it's just, I feel like for parents, too, you know, they're not always expecting, like, something extravagant. They want something, you know, that's, like, kind from the heart. I mean, Not like Falero, you know, who's an adult, should be making his mom like some like paper mache thing and giving it to his mom. You know, that may be a little childish. But like what he did.
No, but it's not. It's not. Because You know that saying everybody says, it's not, you know, the value of the gift, it's the thought that counts. That saying is never more factual than when you're speaking about a gift for your mother. Because your mom's not really going to care, like, oh, he didn't spend this much on me. No, like, just the fact that, you know, you thought about your mother, you took the time out of your day to go get her a gift, you put some thought into it, whatever it is, you made a gift, you wrote a card, she's going to appreciate that. It's your mom. You know what I mean? Like your mom's not going to be mad at you because you didn't spend $1,000 on a gift or whatever, $100. But I mean, just going to the store, telling your mom, oh, buy something, I'll pay for it. It's just weird. Like, that's something you do, I don't know, like Channing Crowder. He was telling me him and his wife have been married for a while. So that's what he does. She goes to the store, she picks something out, and then he goes and he buys it. They've been married for a while. It's different. Your mom? Your mom? Like, you're just telling her, hey, just pick something out and pay. It's just weird to me. And like, Falero's always doing things like that. And I'm just scratching my head. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, like, I would never think about doing that with my mom. What I'd realistically probably do is, like, what I usually do with my mom is kind of look for something maybe, like, an experience we could do together. Because, you know, that's something that's a lasting memory.
Right.
Something like
that's
that.
What I do with my mom for she loves the Beatles, right? My mom loves the Beatles. So, for her birthday, I took her to a Beatles cover band concert. And that's kind of lame, but whatever. Like, we enjoyed it. It was something we did together. Do you struggle buying gifts on holidays like this? Not just for your parents, but for anybody? Because I do, man. Like, I always wait till the last minute. And now, like, the lines, I have to go tomorrow to the mall. I have to buy everybody's present last minute. Everything's sold out. There's no good sizes anymore. All the mediums, all the smalls, all the larges are all taken. All you can find is quadruple XL. And, like, just going to the mall during the holidays, especially this weekend right before Christmas, I mean, it's going to take you an hour just to find parking. It's a hassle. It's stressful. I hate it.
I'm a little bit on the opposite side. I'm actually really good at this stuff. This is the stuff,
wow.
Like,
thanks.
I'm actually pretty good. Hey, no problem, man. I'm going to put you to shame. I'm really good at this stuff. I find stuff, and I'll just literally be looking online, and I'll be thinking about it, and I'll have, like, what I've also done is I buy gifts throughout the year, like, for people. So I almost stock up.
What?
Well, like, for example, like, you know, you have, like, you see, like, something, you know, like, oh, this person would like, and, you know, their birthday's coming up in, like, a month or two or something like that. You get it then. Because,
wow.
You know, you're not going to remember it if not.
I didn't take you as a smart shopper, Biff. Like, I never took you as a smart shopper. 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Text us in. What's, like, a good last-minute gift you can get for your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your girlfriend, your aunt, everybody, like all your loved ones, because I don't have anything. I don't have anything for anybody.
We need to help Simona find something to buy his family.
I was supposed
to
shop today.
Girlfriend.
I'm hosting. I've been here literally since 8 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night tonight. I don't know what to do now for these gifts, because tomorrow I'm going to spend all day at the freaking mall, and I'm not going to get anything, right? Like, that's what's going to end up happening. I'm going to get into a fight with somebody in line for at Macy's, like, just because everybody, it's supposed to be the holidays. Everybody's supposed to be in a good mood, but nobody's in a good mood because everybody's waiting in this, like, hour-long line just to park. It's tough, man.
It's tough being
a procrastinator.
It is, and it's now way too late to do online shopping. There's almost no place in the world that's going to give
you. No, it's impossible. Like, yeah. Going on Amazon now is pointless.
Yeah, you're going to get it the 27th, 28th, you know, and then all you have to do is you have to be that slime that kind of goes and is like, I owe you, and give them a picture of what they got.
Right, you print out the picture of the purse you bought your sister on Amazon. I've done that in the past.
I've done that too, but it's been more or less like, it was before like the Amazon Prime two-day shipping, and it was just like I was just stupid, and I didn't know it was business days instead of regular days.
56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Solana and Biff here. It's the producer show taking you up until 10. I want to get into something here, Biff, that I thought was really interesting. We spoke about the Heat last segment. We spoke about basketball in general, free agency. What about what LeBron James is? He's kind of being put in the spotlight right now. He made some comments earlier this week about Anthony Davis. He kind of said that, you know, playing with Davis, with AD would be amazing. It'd be great to have him come to LA. Now, LeBron and Davis actually share an agent. So now, the headline today on ESPN was small market GMs are upset NBA is not enforcing tampering rules. And specifically, they're talking about this. They're talking about the instance of LeBron James clearly trying to lure, why'd I say it like that? Lure.
Lure.
Trying to lure, Anthony
lure.
Davis.
Lure. Lure.
No, it's not lure. It's lure. He's trying to lure Anthony Davis. Lure is a totally, it's John Lure, the NBA basketball player.
I was thinking more like a fishing line, like a fishing thing.
That's right. A lure. He's trying to lure Anthony Davis to LA. We're so stupid. And like it's obvious what he's doing, right? He couldn't have made it more obvious. He's saying, yeah, I would love to play with AD. Oh, and it just so happens my team has cap space coming up this offseason. Oh, and it just so happens, you know, we share the same agent. And it just so happens that, you know, Anthony Davis is one of the best team or best players in the NBA, and he would help me take down the Warriors, who have kept me from winning my fourth title for the past 3 years.
Do you think it's kind of also the reason why they're not really, the NBA hasn't jumped at it yet? It's just because it's LeBron James? Because I'm reading the article that you're kind of alluding to, and I mean, they've talked about it. They find Paul George and Giannis and the Greek Freak earlier this year. I mean, actually, I don't think it was this year. Actually, in the past, I mean, $500,000 for Paul George and $50,000 for the Greek Freak. I mean, it is tampering. It is. It's borderline. I mean, you're going out there and you're saying, I want this, I want that. You can't really go out there. And you know, with all everything around LeBron, he is pushing it. And I think the GM for the Pelicans said they have no interest in trying to trade him and stuff like that because what are they going to get out of the Lakers that's worth Anthony Davis?
Well, hold on a second. I mean, everything. Like, if you're the Lakers and you have a chance to get Anthony Davis, I mean, you are literally trading everybody, whoever, other than LeBron James. Who do you want? Pick. Like seriously, that's what you're doing.
But
because you're getting Anthony Davis. Like, it doesn't... So here's my angle on this, Biff. You are a small market team like the Pelicans. You have to do whatever you can do to convince a guy like Anthony Davis, generational talent, okay? You'll never get another Anthony Davis ever again. You have to convince him, however you can, to stay with your team, okay? Which is why these GMs, and I know the GM of the Pelicans, I believe, in this article on ESPN, said that they had no interest in, or they didn't really take issue with what LeBron said. But I know it's BS, because, I mean, LeBron is basically tiptoeing around it, but he's basically, you know, putting out his calculated messages, which he's so good at with the media, trying to get AD to come to LA. You have to do whatever you can to keep that from happening if you're the GM of the Pelicans or the GM of whoever, Sacramento, the GM of Atlanta. And it doesn't help when the best player in the world is trying to attract one of the best players in the world to come to one of the best cities in the world. So I totally understand why these GMs are upset, but why isn't the NBA doing anything? Why are they finding Magic Johnson, who made public statements about Paul George, but they're not finding LeBron James? Is it because he's the best player in the world?
I think it is. I think that has something to do with it. And it's kind of a... It's not fair. It's not fair to the small market teams. And it's not fair, LeBron. You can't let LeBron James run around. You can't let the players run the league.
But at the same time as well, just to play devil's advocate here, he's being asked questions about Anthony Davis. And what he's saying is 100% true. It would be great to play with Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
he's not lying. It's not like he's purposely going on Twitter and saying, man, I would love to play with Anthony Davis. I mean, he's being asked questions, which is probably why the NBA is saying, well, hold on a second. Like, what are we going to do? Fine him because he's answering questions? He's saying what any of us would say, right?
I would say the same thing.
Anthony Davis is one of the best players in the league. Why wouldn't I want to play with him?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a chance to bring in players and do that, you got to do it. You just have to. But, you know, I don't know. It's a weird topic, too, because it's like, you know, he is doing it, but in the sense, you could say, I mean, he could say, I want to play with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan becomes a free agent all of a sudden this year. Is that, or he somehow becomes on the Hornets. Is that tampering? No. It's just kind of like, it's a weird topic almost, in a sense, just to come up. It's an interesting story, but it's also weird at the same time. If that made any sense at all. I don't know if it did.
What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. Do you even know what you're talking about?
I played the fifth.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
join the 411 Payne WQAM Street Team and Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz from the Joe Rose Show for the Alabama versus Oklahoma semifinal playoff game at Shuckers Waterfront Grill in North Bay Village this Saturday, December 29th, or next Saturday, December 29th, from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Enter for a chance to win a 60-gallon cooler, courtesy of Dos Equis. 60-gallon cooler. Wow.
That's a lot of beer you could hold in that. And a lot of refreshments.
I don't know if I'm, you know, maybe overestimating how big that is, but to me, 60-gallon cooler.
It's like your...
I got to Google right now what a 60-gallon cooler is. Is this like the generic tailgating cooler?
I think so, yeah, basically. It's like, it's not like this. It's in between like the medium size and the large size. You'll be able to hold at least a case or maybe two of beer in there, at least with some decent amount of ice in it.
Well, hold on a second. There's no way only a case or two fits in. Man, yeah, you're right. Like, it's not even the really big one. I don't know why. Like, I thought like a 60-gallon cooler would be like this insane cooler where you need like six people to carry it.
It's probably like cubic gallons or, you know, some weird thing on
no,
it.
I just don't think I have my measurements down right. I think that's exactly what it is.
I mean, that could very much be the issue too. I was giving you the benefit of a doubt, but you know, you want to prove yourself wrong, go right ahead.
56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. If you want to chime in, Salon and Biff taking you up until 10 today. We spoke about LeBron James tampering last segment. Or not tampering, according to the NBA. Here's what some of you had to say. Again, 56022, if you want to get in. It's because LeBron is a player and not in the front office officially. Players can say what they want. He's not held to the same tampering standards as front office officials. Another person kind of disagreed, said players can comment, staff and owners can't. The answering of questions doesn't count. Just like if they ask about the refs and they knock them, they get fined. So answering questions is not a real defense. I mean, you got two comments there, each from the opposite side. I do think that what he's doing, or maybe not what he did, but what, you know, the GMs are upset about, which is him recruiting Davis, is, you know, not allowed, because that's why the GMs are upset and that's why they're taking issue with what he's doing. But again, yeah, I'm not totally certain that, you know, what he's done thus far is worthy of a suspension or a fine. Clearly not a suspension.
I'd say it would be a fine, but, like, I don't know.
I'm not totally sure. We'd have to talk to Ira Winderman about that. I'm not totally certain. But, yeah, I mean, LeBron James, just stop it already, okay? Like, just stop it already. I'm sick of this. He's coming out to the media. He's trying to recruit Anthony Davis. Just stop it already. By the way, Milwaukee right now is playing in Boston. The Heat got Houston on a back-to-back. They're going to get Milwaukee on a back-to-back. And by the way, they're playing Boston. Pretty good team. Pretty good Eastern Conference team. Milwaukee, though, I find it interesting that obviously they have the Greek Freak. They have Antetokounmpo, and that's great. But, I mean, they're literally the best offensive team in the NBA right now. Like, literally, think about that. Wrap your head around that. They're the best offensive team in the NBA. The Heat right now, it's interesting because they've done a really good job in their last couple games at holding teams under 100 points, which, when you put into the perspective of how this NBA has changed, how the NBA has changed in the past couple seasons, where teams score over 100 easily. Like, it's not even a question anymore. It's pretty remarkable what they've done in the last 9 games. 6 times they've held their opponents under 100 points. They're 6-0 when they do that. They're 0-3 when teams score more than 100 points. So you have the best offensive team right now. Look, they have the graphic up right now.
Offensive efficiency,
first in the NBA. You have them coming into tomorrow's game. And yesterday night, you had Houston, who, the best 3-point shooting team, maybe not percentages wise, but I mean, come on, like they set an NBA record. They shot 55. They made 26 three pointers the night before. I'm forgetting who it was against. I mean, incredible numbers being put up by Houston behind the 3-point line. And by the way, they did it again last night. But the Heat somehow were able to hold them under 99 or under 100 points.
Airplane mode.
Airplane mode. That's what it is, right there.
That's what the answer for last night was airplane mode.
he's not actually going to win Most Improved Player of the Year, right? Like, the sample size is just way too small
thus far. No.
Right, but he could build on that, could he not? Like, he could build. By the way, the Rockets set that single-season three-point record, or single-game three-point record, against the Wizards the night before they played the Heat, on Wednesday night, I believe.
And, you also have to remember, season ends in April. We're wrapping up December. There's still plenty of time for who knows what to happen and who knows where. We could see some guy we've never heard of all of a sudden come out and become really good.
I mean, that's what happened with Hassan Whiteside. Like, literally, what you just said.
That's Hassan Whiteside.
It's exactly what happened with Hassan Whiteside.
The man who couldn't make it in Sacramento. When Sacramento, not this year's Sacramento, like the two years ago
the
Sacramento.
The scrubby Sacramento. Yeah, this was like 4 years ago. Hassan Whiteside was just a guy that the Heat, took a flyer on. Let's see what happens. Comes in, he drops a triple-double in Chicago, and everybody's like, wait, hold on a second. Like, hold on a
Putting
second.
Up 10-plus blocks. 10-plus blocks. You don't hear about that ever.
And now we pay him $1 million or $100 million, and we all hate him.
And, we expect, every 2 weeks or so, maybe, a double-double.
It is weird, right, how Hassan comes out some games with this intensity where you just say, okay, he's on. He's on. We're going to get the good Hassan tonight. He's going to have 22 and 18, and the energy, the effort is going to be there. And then other games, it's like he's a totally different player. It's weird. It's really weird. And it probably speaks more to, just the fact that he's not an elite player. He doesn't deserve the max deal that he was given. And we know that. Like, I'm not saying anything new there. And of course, several factors. We touched on it earlier. Several factors played into him getting that contract. More so than anything, the market dictated that deal that season. It's not like
the market
Riley,
and potential.
Right. Well, the potential, of course. But the market that season, everybody was getting crazy contracts. Remember Luol Deng? I don't think it was that year, but perhaps the year before.
Yeah, Luol Deng
got $19 million a year.
His was ridiculous.
$19 million a year from the Lakers. I mean, I could go back and look up all these crazy contracts. So it's not like Hassan.
Wasn't that the same year that Mozgov got all that money too?
Right. Timofey Mozgov was getting crazy. Everybody was getting these crazy deals. And it's because the TV contracts, kind of blew up the salary cap. And it was just like this influx of money coming into players that probably didn't deserve those contracts. So it's not like, Hassan's an outlier. And Riley wasn't just like, I want to pay Hassan because I want to pay Hassan. No, I mean, there was reasons why he had to pay Hassan. And there was probably some reasons why he shouldn't have as well, which is fair. But it's still crazy to me to see a player who is clearly talented, like clearly. And you can argue that he doesn't fit in today's NBA. He's a dinosaur in today's NBA. That's fine. Your arguments are valid. I get it. But there's still a place for a guy who brings the energy that you see on some nights from Hassan Whiteside. There's still a place for that guy in the NBA. He might not deserve $22 million a year, $24 million a year, whatever it is that he's getting. He might not deserve that. And he probably doesn't deserve the touches that Hassan wants offensively, but there's still a place for that guy.
Oh, there's definitely a place for it. I mean, with all the teams shooting outside and stuff like that, it does open the inside up a little more. I mean, I can't remember. I was watching SportsCenter a couple days ago, but they were showing one team. Literally, they play a five-man outside. They, like, nobody's inside. I think I'm trying to remember the team, if I could think of it off the top of my head.
A lot of teams do that now. Like, even you can look at
the
Nuggets.
Pelicans, though, where they do that. And then, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. They do that because then Giannis could come in and he could make all the plays inside himself and it frees it up.
You can look at the Denver Nuggets, who, as of yesterday, this could have changed because the Western Conference is so crazy. But as of yesterday, Nikola Jokic, the Nuggets,
amazing.
The Nuggets were first in the West. Take notice, the Nuggets first in the West. I mean, Jokic is playing on the perimeter. He can knock down the occasional three-pointer. He has a very good elite post game. He can put the ball on the floor as well. Joel Embiid, he could do the same. He can shoot the three-pointer. He can put the ball on the floor.
As of right now, they are still in first place. They have a one-game lead in the over OKC.
The West is crazy, man. Like, it really is crazy. And it pains me to say this. We started the segment talking about LeBron James. You have to give that guy his credit right now. And the LA Lakers. I'm not sure if they'll be able to sustain the success that they've had thus far throughout the season. And I know, small sample size. It's only December 21st. I get that. But it's still impressive what they've done. Nobody had LeBron James and the Lakers being a playoff or a top four seed in the Western Conference. Nobody. I mean, find me one person in the national media who expected this Laker team to be, you know, competing for one of the top spots in the West.
Find me a writer who thought that the Rockets would be an eighth seed right now. It would not be at the top. I mean, just like I'm literally looking at the rankings right now. Minnesota's at the bottom, which, you know, makes a little bit more sense right now because, you know, they lost Jimmy Butler and that was a big loss. But like the Sacramento Kings, I mean, first off, they are the all college team out there, putting De'Aaron Fox, Yogi Ferrell, and I was at that game, I think, with Chris Whittingham, actually. We were, like, looking at the roster, and we're like, man, if you were playing, like, NCAA basketball or something like that, you would have a legendary team out there. And, they're in the hunt. They're 16 and 15. They're in a three-way tie for the eighth seed.
The Spurs, I can't remember. I think it was two Fridays ago. I was on this station, Flair and I were hosting, and I was critiquing the San Antonio Spurs. I was saying, how is it possible that you lose Kawhi? Yes, but Kawhi didn't play much last season. You add an all-star player in DeMar DeRozan, and you're at the bottom of the Western Conference. They were second to last about a little over 2 weeks ago. And now they're the seventh seed. And like, yeah, the 14th seed, which is the Timberwolves, are only three games behind them, or two and a half games behind them, which is just kind of shows you that the Western Conference right now, nobody's safe. I mean, you know the Nuggets are going to make the playoffs. You know the Warriors are going to make the playoffs. But even the Lakers right now, they're the fourth seed, and I was just crediting them, 18 and 13. I mean, the Timberwolves are only 4.5 games back from them, and they're all the way down at the bottom. It really is crazy. It goes to show you the Western Conference much more elite than the Eastern Conference. Solana and Biff here on WQM. We'll be right back.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
It's prime time. All the Miami Hurricanes sports action can be heard here on 560 and 96.5 FM HD2, sponsored by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. I don't even have to read that because, man, for how long of our lives, Matt? How old are you? Like, what, 22, right?
Yep.
I'm 24. I've been hearing that 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on Geico for my entire life.
Oh, it's almost like every time I look at a Geico commercial, it's literally the one thing I think about. I look at that dumb gecko, and that's what I think about.
Is that the most recognizable branding slogan? I mean, I'm probably forgetting so many, but like, is that, like, if you see Geico somewhere, the first thing that pops into your head is what? The little green lizard. And then it's 15 minutes could save you 15% or more, or
maybe,
on Geico.
Or maybe with Nike, just do it. That
right.
One's pretty
Nike,
big.
Nike's,
I mean,
up there.
We have to sit here and we'd probably write down companies. We could probably think of their jingles and stuff like that, and we could figure out. I mean, but definitely one of the top ones.
Yeah, that's a good one, Nike. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. What are some of the most recognizable branding slogans? You see a logo of something, and immediately. You see Geico? Immediately. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Pops up into your head. Nike, just do it. That's a good one, too. Texas again, 560-22. With some more, really quickly, Matt, before we get to Nick Saban, the Baltimore Ravens put out a statement just a little over an hour ago. I just saw it pass through my timeline here on Twitter. John Harbaugh will continue as our head coach for the 2019 season, and he and we are working on an extension to his existing contract, which expires after the 2019 season. That, of course, coming from the Baltimore Ravens owner through their Twitter account. So, for those Dolphin fans who were kind of hoping John Harbaugh would be looking for a job this coming season, and the Miami Dolphins maybe would be looking for a head coach at the end of this season, you can scratch John Harbaugh off the list.
I mean, the only former NFL coach that really I think anybody would want down here is Mike McCarthy, because they think they could make another Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know.
Right. But isn't that like why he's no longer the coach over there? Because him and Aaron Rodgers just couldn't coexist anymore. Like, that ship had obviously sailed, right? I mean, That's it. Like, their time together had just come to an end. They weren't working well together, clearly, based on the record of this team. And I know a lot of people want to chalk that up to personnel. And what I mean by that is player personnel. And that's a totally fair argument. But I do think some of the criticism of Mike McCarthy was fair. Like, he just wanted to keep doing things his way. And when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you probably shouldn't. But let's get to a guy who we all know very well down here in Miami. Today is a very, very special anniversary for a lot of Dolphins fans. Probably more so for Alabama fans. 12 years ago today, Nick Saban told Miami Dolphins fans, people in Miami, and the media for the Miami Dolphins this.
I don't know how else I can say it. I've said it three different occasions. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. And I don't know why you keep asking.
Damn you. Damn you, Nick Saban. Damn you.
I wonder if Old Takes Exposed got that one. I mean, that's probably one of the funniest things. That is probably one of the funniest moments in Dolphin history. I'm not going to lie.
It's funny for us because, wait, hold on a second. Are you a Dolphin, do you consider yourself a Dolphin fan?
No, I do not consider
You're
myself.
A Steelers fan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm a Steelers fan.
I mean, get the bleep out of here.
Hey, but I have the South Florida blood. I worked on the Dolphins broadcast. I mean, I understand.
You have some connection with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I understand the pain of a Dolphin fan on that one.
I don't think you do. I don't think you do because, first of all, why are you a Steelers fan? Let's break this down for a second. Why are you a Steelers fan?
Well, I have some family there, and I don't...
Do you really? Are you just saying that?
From, like, Erie,
don't
Pennsylvania.
Lie.
I do have some family from there.
From Pennsylvania? Because I have family in Pennsylvania, and...
Erie, Pennsylvania, which
is... Oh, Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yes, which is closer to Pittsburgh. Because if not, I've learned a lot about, like, Pennsylvania sports, more than I ever care about. If you're not, like, next to Pittsburgh, you're going to be, like, an Eagles fan or something stupid like that.
Right. Even though they just... You call them stupid, they just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, you know, they won a Super Bowl, but are they
Manny
really
Chang,
winning again?
Manny Chang is on his way to the studio to beat you up.
He probably is. He's going to beat me up on Sunday when I see him.
So, if you're a young Dolphins fan like me, the Nick Saban saga probably doesn't hit you as hard as some of you old-timers out there. I'm 24 years old. I remember this. I remember Nick Saban being hired. I remember him being the young, or not so much young, but the next big coach coming to the NFL, the college coach who is going to come implement his style, his persona, be a polarizing head coach in the NFL. And it just didn't work out for the Dolphins for whatever reason. Okay, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out with the Miami Dolphins. That could be a four-hour show in itself. Nobody, though, has ever, in my years of living, has ever lied to the media this way. And in such a short amount of time, he told the media.
I could tell you there's somebody who definitely did that because
in such a short amount of time like this,
I have heart problems. Remember who that is? The guy who's now coaching at the Ohio State or was coaching at the Ohio State University.
That's true.
Did that to the Gators, but after Tim Tebow left him.
But I will say this. It wasn't, you know, in a 1 week window where Urban Meyer was like, oh, I have heart problems. I don't want to work. I'm going to take a step out of coaching. I'm pretty sure he was out of coaching for more than a year, I believe. I could be wrong about that. Again, 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. If you want to tell me I'm wrong, I believe Urban Meyer stepped away from UF and it was a little more than a year, a little over a year when he made his return to coaching.
It was
at Ohio State. So I don't put the two together. Nick Saban got in front of the media and said, even though there were all these reports that he was taking the Alabama job, I am not going to work for Alabama. I'm not going to go coach Alabama.
I don't know how else I can say it. I've said it three different occasions. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. And I don't know why you keep asking.
Less than 2 weeks later, he's the Alabama coach.
It's brutal. It definitely, I mean, as a Gator fan also, that hurt me. That ruined any chance for the Gators.
Hold on a second. You live in Boca. You were born in Boca, around that area?
Yeah.
Born and raised. Boca Raton, Florida. You're a Gator fan.
My dad's a Gator fan.
You're a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Are you a Yankee fan too?
No. Red Sox. Different.
Well,
different.
Okay. So you're a Red Sox fan.
And then everything else is South Florida from there.
Yeah, but everything else. The only thing left is the Heat. And yeah, you're a Heat fan because we have LeBron James.
And the Panthers too, buddy. And the Panthers. Okay. You know, Mr. Okay. We're 5 points away from getting the playoffs.
I don't know why I didn't know this about you. There's something very weird that your favorite sports teams.
I'm also a millennial too, so you know we can't always have people down here. They're Golden State fans, they're Laker fans.
Yeah, but that's essentially what you did. You're a Red Sox fan.
I won't deny that. I did that.
You're a little front runner in you.
Hey, but you know what? I stuck through the thick and thin of all my teams though that I have right now.
For the better half of two decades, I always say this: the Miami Dolphins have lived in mediocrity. Nick Saban. Somewhere in those two decades was supposed to be the change. He was supposed to come and revitalize the Miami Dolphins. He didn't do that. But what he did do was build an absolute powerhouse at Alabama. He is what the Miami Hurricanes used to be, right? Like, Alabama now is what UM was in its heyday. And I don't mean that just based on winning. What I mean by that is the players
dominance
that they're getting, right? Like, just look at the last title game. Jalen Hurts, their starting quarterback, goes down. Or he didn't even go down, excuse me. Wasn't playing well. Next guy up. Hasn't played all season. Comes in, wins a national championship. That's what UM used to be. They used to have 5 Lamar Millers. They used to have 5 Duke Johnsons ready to play. Now you have 1 Duke Johnson and everybody goes crazy over him. Now you have... You don't have what Alabama is. You don't even have half of what Alabama is. You would wish you had half now at UM. I always try to look at, parallels in sports, especially when it's, different levels of sports, college to the NFL. And if there's one person that you can kind of look at Nick Saban and compare him to in the NFL, obviously, is Bill Belichick. Not only are they always miserable, the two of them, they're just always miserable, but, I mean, they've kind of set up the two football dynasties in the last decade, right?
I don't think I can. The only thing I could think of that may be better than the Belichick run is maybe the Cowboys, or maybe the 80s Cowboys, the Steel Curtain Steelers. Those are the only two teams I could think of that would be better than the Belichick run, but... Also saying that, like, the Steeler run was 5 years. They did it in five. They won 4 titles in 5 years. They lost 1. The Cowboys kind of spread throughout the 70s through the 90s. What Bill Belichick has done, he took a guy who was a 6th-round pick. Nobody really cared about him. You watch his 40 timing. That's what people thought of him. You just watch him running the 40. Just some non-athletic white guy, making him the best guy out there. With a bunch of guys who they developed as receivers to be really good. I mean, I don't know if it's just Brady or it's Belichick. Now, obviously, with everything surrounding that, you have no idea what it is.
Who are you more impressed by, though, as a head coach? Is it Bill Belichick or is it Nick Saban? Because when you look at the two of them, what Bill Belichick has done and what he's established at the highest level of the game is obviously remarkable. And I hate the fact, and I'm literally, it's like gut-wrenching that I have to praise Bill Belichick, but it's true. Like, respect goes to what the Patriots have done. I mean, they've dominated the AFC East for 17 years. Like, literally 17 years. It's been the Patriots. But Nick Saban, in a shorter amount of time, has literally dominated college football. He's built... I mean, how do you even begin to describe what he's built? He's built perhaps the greatest college football dynasty ever. And I know some people are going to say, oh, what Notre Dame had in, the 50s or whatever. Okay, yeah, I'm talking about in my lifetime. Alabama's the greatest college football dynasty ever. And maybe Canes fans will get upset at me for saying that, but it's true. Like, it's better than what the Canes had in the late 80s. Maybe the teams of the Canes in the late 80s were better, but over... the decade that Nick Saban has been at Alabama, I believe it's already been a decade or close to that.
Yeah, it's definitely been. And I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
It's been 12 years. What am I saying? We're celebrating the 12-year anniversary of him leaving to Alabama.
And I'm looking literally. I mean, they were from a 6-7 win team, not really doing much in the SEC, to coming in, BCS National Title Game, Capital One Bowl, BCS National Title Game, BCS National Title Game.
No, it's incredible.
You're just looking in. I can't remember a time when Nick Saban wasn't in the top 10 with just recruiting, with anything. I mean, he's built something out there that kids are looking at when they get an offer from Alabama. First off, you're a recruit. You know you made it when you get an Alabama offer. And you're just looking out there on the field, and you know every year you could send 10, 12 guys to the NFL who are going to be first, second round picks, not including guys who just maybe sign later, and you know you can replenish them every year. I mean, he's literally built like the Spartan army, basically.
So which one are you more impressed by? 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We'll talk about that next on 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.